Hello, and welcome to our special series of Green Elephant interviews during March 2021, supporting the annual B Corps Month. B Corporations, or B Corps for short, are businesses that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and legal accountability to balance profit and purpose. Throughout March, we are chatting with key people in companies which have chosen to certify as B Corps and become a force for good. Today, I've been joined by James Bidwell from Reset. Reset is a boutique strategy consultancy for disruption, innovation, and sustainability whose mission is to ensure its clients thrive in a disrupted world. Reset specialise in understanding what's next and how to make change happen at pace with positive, sustainable impact. They've been in certified B Corporation for just under a year. James Bidwell is co-founder at Reset, chair at Springwise, author of a best-selling book, Disrupt 100 Lessons in Business Innovation, along with being an environmental agitator and activist. Welcome to the Green Elephant Show, James.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to ask you why it's called the Green Elephant Show, but it's certainly fantastic to be on it.
Thank you very much. In that case, I won't answer it either. So how exactly do you agitate in this world, James?
So, well, agitation is a state of mind for me. And increasingly, I think that we are on the verge of a climate disaster, let's face it. And we are wrecking the planet every single day at scale, at pace. We're being increasingly disrupted, which is evident by the fact that we're sitting here locked down in the UK at the moment.
Yeah, that's true.
And I feel that I should do something about that. So I have that on my agenda at the top of my list every day when I wake up. I still have to make a living. So I work with businesses to help make them more sustainable. And I promote and support people who are driving the change. And I guess that's where I've got to. And it's the urgency that makes me feel like I need to do something every day and galvanize everyone I meet and everyone who listens to me into actually doing something.
So kind of an evangelist for the coming disaster if we don't do something, or an evangelist for the activities we need to undertake.
Yeah, I think that would be a good way of describing. And because I've had a career in marketing and communications, I've learned how to articulate myself relatively well and build positive stories around some of the things that we need to do. I'm a big fan of the B Corp movement, which you mentioned, because it's about business being a force for good. So business is inherently needs to be profitable to survive and grow and thrive. I don't think that's mutually exclusive from doing the right thing by the planet. But there are a lot of businesses who are not doing the right thing by the planet. They're only doing the right thing by their shareholders, who in many cases don't need any more money, and they need to sit there and think about what they've destroyed in their careers and get on with helping fix it for the next generations.
When talking to businesses that you obviously meet within your consultancy and elsewhere, do you feel a resistance to that concept that profit perhaps isn't the number one thing to be thinking about and there's people and planet to worry about as well?
It's a great question, Russell. And it depends on the leader. So yeah. The most enlightened, and I think the best CEOs in around at the moment are open to this conversation because they're inherently pretty intelligent and they're aware. The resistance often is quite acute at the beginning, and particularly for people who've been doing things one way for a long time and they've made plenty of money and done the growth and all that kind of stuff. But when you start talking about their customers, talking about their staff, talking about their kids, when you start talking about what's actually going on out there and painting a picture of the destruction, it's amazing to see people say, you can almost see the cogs turning in their minds, and they see how they can actually not only do the right thing for all of their stakeholders, but also create a more successful and more resilient business. And the great thing is that you know, there are some businesses that are not doing the right thing, which are going bust because they just haven't reacted and they're not agile and they're not thinking about the future and they're not innovating. And then there are others that are doing really well because they're on the right path.
So from your perspective, and I think I might share this, is that sustainability is not just about reducing your plastics and your emissions and your, you know, use of water, but it could also, the sustainability also relates to the length of life your business has in itself.
Absolutely. And the really interesting thing is the tension between the investment community, who don't really care much about the life of a business, they just care about maximizing profits. Yeah. And then a family business, for example, which has a much more strategic kind of point of view. They're looking, particularly if they're looking to thrive over multi generations.
Yeah.
And so there's all of those things that come into it. But in the end, you know, all of those, that's why this job is interesting and why this moment in time is interesting, because there's no one right answer, apart from there is a need to act now. And every conversation is fascinating and really, really exciting.
Do you draw all the organizations you work with towards the B Corp ideal? Is that your goal, is to get them there, or perhaps are there other stages that they need to go through? Or
it's a good question. So the B Corp is a fairly strict accreditation. Yeah. And it, as you know, it took us, you know, almost a year to get accredited.
Yeah.
And it's probably easier for a smaller business to go towards that, although there are some big businesses that are very successful and B Corps, namely Patagonia. I think Ben & Jerry's is a B Corp. So what we say is we believe in the principles of the B Corp, which is, you know, number one, business should be a force for good. So, and I increasingly look at the political world, which is, this is a bit of an aside, and I see governments who are all over the place and completely unconnected, and they can't even sort out any kind of collaboration on the biggest global pandemic that we've had in our lifetimes. And therefore businesses who have leverage across many multiple territories, as do many of the bigger businesses, you know, they do have a responsibility. So we introduce those principles and we tend to help them get towards that, but we don't say you have to be a B Corp in order to work with us. And actually we don't probably want to work with B Corps because they've already done it. And our job is to help people do it. So we're interested in turning legacy businesses and businesses that are not so aware and not innovating and not being that sustainable into future fit, successful businesses of the future.
Yeah, and I saw on your website, on the Reset website, I think it was, where you had three path to B Corp, obviously is one we talked about, path to net zero and path to circularity. Now, net zero, I think many people are familiar. What's the path to circularity that you...
Well, yes, so we just recently launched these three kind of products, because sometimes you say, I'm going to do a sustainability strategy, and it's like, oh, well, you know, what does that mean, James?
Yeah.
Well, and yeah. So we thought we'd focus down, and path to B Corp, if you understand B Corp, is kind of quite clear. Path to circularity is all around taking waste out of the system. So in any business, it effectively means that you have a circular business model rather than a linear business model. So imagine fashion, you know, someone makes a garment in a factory, it gets shipped across the world, it gets used, or it gets sold in a shop, it gets used, it gets washed, and then it gets chucked away. Yeah. And, you know, then back in the other end of it, the next pair of jeans is coming through. So this is all around how do you take that waste pair of jeans or whatever, and how do you put that back into the supply chain? And that, of course, could be in food, and it can be in almost any business. You just think about life in a circular way, and any waste or any byproducts of business go back into the top of the funnel, or they get placed elsewhere for good. And so the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, which is the well-known kind of circular economy pioneers, we you know, work closely with them and understand what they're doing in order to be able to provide that service to our clients. And the path to net zero, I should mention, because it struck me that a lot of companies were announcing that they're going to go net zero by a date.
Yeah.
And they clearly had no idea how they were going to get there.
No.
So, we think we have more of an idea. We have methodologies and we have ways of helping companies get there and focus on it. So whereas I'm a fan of people making pledges, we see all too often that a CEO will make a pledge that's 10 years out. And by that time he knows, and it's usually a he, unfortunately, that he will be on a beach in his yacht. And you know, someone else will have to pick up the pieces. So we're very keen that people commit to their commitments and actually make them happen. And that's why B Corp's good, because you're accountable to maintaining your accreditation and actually you're audited properly and all of that stuff.
Yeah, and I think you're right. We're keen to see people do it. And I saw that Microsoft pledged to go net zero and sequester all the carbon for their whole history back to 1973, which I thought was an impressive pledge to make. And then a year later came back and went, I don't know how we're going to do this, because we just can't. It's not, trees isn't good enough. We need to do some tricky stuff. Now, you mentioned your chair on Springwise, which is referred to as an innovation platform. Could you tell me a little bit about that? Because I've had a look at it and I'm going to point people to it.
Good, thank you. Springwise is a great great website, really. It's a website which is populated by the world's most curious innovators. And what we do is we have an editorial team in our group, and their job is to locate the latest innovations that matter from all around the world. So they scour the whole globe. So we look in 190 countries, and we have spotters working for us or with us, because they're part of our community from all around the world.
Yeah.
And every day they send in ideas and we'll sift through them. And they have to be real. So they can't just be someone flying a kite and saying, try for this. It has to be a real thing. It has to be at least prototyped or manufactured, or an invention that has been patented or something like that.
Yes.
And then we publish the top three, and that gives us an extraordinary glimpse into the future, because we look at what startups are doing, what kind of MIT and Stanford, what the kind of the business schools are doing, what scientists are doing. And then we publish them and tag them. We write a nice little article about each of them.
Yeah.
And it's become, you know, the kind of go-to place for innovators and people interested in innovation, which is, of course, much more popular now than it ever was.
Yeah.
And we also give oxygen to new businesses and entrepreneurs. And when they're on Springwise, they'll be picked up maybe for funding or to be on the telly or picked up by journalists. It's a great source for journalists and investors. And we use that to power our reset thinking to help our clients stay ahead of their competitors and think differently about what's happening out there.
And when you say top three every week?
Every day.
Every day.
Five a day on weekdays. So we publish 15 a week. And so we have, you know, quite a team of people doing that. Amazing writers, great editor, Justin. And then we send them out on newsletters. So you can sign up for a daily top three or a weekly top 15. And then we have a sustainable source, it's called the sustainability newsletter, which goes out every couple of weeks, which does a deep dive on the kind of the sustainability issues and profiles of entrepreneurs, all of that kind of stuff.
A brilliant resource for somebody who's interested in news and innovation. And the basis of the Green Elephant Show is a weekly news review where we look at technology. It's a place for us to look. And just to give people a taster.
I found Russell once. It was great. There was a radio show host in Auckland, New Zealand.
Yeah.
I found out that he had a show every Friday and he would use Springwise as the basis for his show. And he'd basically read out all the innovations, which I thought was amazing. Great prompt of...
It is a brilliant resource. And I would encourage you, there's apps for your phone and for the iPad or pad. So go and have a look at Springwise. It's free. You don't even have to, if I remember correctly, you don't even have to sign in or anything. You just...
No, I mean, it's a very nice gift to the world from me, I think.
It's very kind of you. You always have to give something away, don't you?
Labor of love, yeah. But it's important. I think it's going to be 20 years old next year. And I've only had it for 5 years. I sort of took it over when it was almost bust and not in very good shape, and have nurtured it back over the last 5 years. but it has this incredibly resilient community who love it from all around the world. So it's, I think it's of benefit to humanity, which therefore we keep it going.
Do you, I mean, it's with that 5-year window where you've been perhaps looking at that every week for 5 years, is innovation really stepping up recently? Is it, or is it slowed down during 2020, or has it got, you know, are we seeing a serious batch of new innovations now?
I think, look, I'm seeing a great, we're seeing in the stats around Springwise and the people who are coming onto the site, that's going up significantly. So, yeah. And the reason I kind of stepped out of my rather traditional career into a more entrepreneurial one was because I felt that innovation and disruption was going to be a thing. But I didn't predict COVID, by the way.
I don't think many could have.
But I've been predicting the climate crisis for quite a long time, and hopefully we'll avoid that. But COVID was, you know, from an innovation point of view, was an amazing kick. And we've just seen fantastic ideas coming through from people who are, when they're in crisis, they are forced to rethink their business models, their the way that they kind of protect themselves, look after themselves. And there's a whole kind of loads of COVID inspired or COVID forced, if you like, innovations that have come through from across all, you know, retail, hospitality. So you look at, when you look at the businesses that have been most hard hit, you go, you know, you can see a lot of people really thinking creatively to keep themselves afloat. And then of course, with the digitization and the kind of the Zoom culture, that's contributed hugely to innovation as well. So in terms of getting people to think differently, I think COVID's been pretty good. Yeah. And, you know, let's face it, some of the governments have done okay, you know, in thinking about life differently, and others haven't so much. But lots of businesses have done really well in COVID and looked after their teams, you know, and battled through it. So it's been quite fertile, is the answer. In the 5 years, definitely, the kind of the notion of disruption wasn't a word 5 years ago.
Not that, really, yeah, not in that context anyway.
Yeah.
And I think, as you said in your book, you mentioned organizations like Uber and Airbnb that have sprung in to life in, I don't know, probably, I can remember, 2008, 2013, yeah, something like that, and they sprung into life and brought a completely different way of doing stuff for a very traditional activity, like letting B&B and turning it to an Airbnb. Why the book? The book is called Disrupt! 100 Lessons in Business Innovation. Why did you write that?
So we were approached by one of the big publishers in London, a company called Hachette, and they said, you know, they really like Springwise. Could we think about writing a book? And I said to them, yeah, that's, you know, that sounds like a good idea. And I went away and thought about it. And I thought that it would be a lovely thing to bring Springwise to life on a piece of paper rather than just in a digital form.
Yeah.
And so we devised a really simple format, which is 10 chapters with a topic, and then 10 innovations in each chapter, all topped and tailed with some conclusions and some, you know, introduction, just to pull some of the strands of thinking together. And we came up with the idea, with the name, actually the title. It was published in it was published 3 years ago, I think, the book. So we came up, I think it was 2017, so almost 4 years ago. And we came up with the name the year before that, so we're quite pleased that we identified this idea of disruption quite a long way ahead of the game. But I was rereading some of it the other day, and it's really relevant today, because it just talks about how, as you say, industries are disrupted and the world's turned on its head, how to think about it, how to look at agility and flexibility and all of those things that we've learned the hard way over the last year or so.
It's probably somewhere the kind of thing that the governments need to look at now, because there needs to be innovation in government nowadays. We're government's too slow, do you think?
I know.
Your experience.
One of the ways out of this kind of economic shock that we're in at the moment is to be more creative, more innovative. And where I think governments, you know, sometimes they think if they chuck enough money at it, it'll all be fine. And there are many examples of money being just wasted. So I think they need to be a little bit more, and I'm talking about the UK government, a bit more focused on what they're actually getting and think innovatively about how to get to the solution rather than just listening to all the people who just say, oh, give a look, chuck a load of money out. And the amount of money that's been wasted on our response to COVID, although ministers sit there and say they wouldn't have done it anyway differently, it is pretty disgraceful. It's our money, you know, our kids are paying for that. Innovation is a very good way of saving money and being more efficient and optimizing, you know, services and businesses and all of those things. We look at that every day to make things more efficient and more sustainable.
So if I can just drag you back to why we're here, which is we're sitting in B Corp month of March, and you're a B Corp, I'm a B Corp. Why did you go for being a B Corp?
So I was, when I bought Springwise in 2015, I became a member of 1% for the Planet immediately because I wanted to get involved in environmental issues. And we give 1% of our sales to environmental activist groups to help them combat all sorts of things from pollution to biodiversity loss, etc. And then as we grew the team with Reset, we found that there was a real mission, there was a real mission and purpose behind everyone's reason to join Reset. Yeah. And I felt that it was a good idea to see if we could formalize that a little bit more. And I think it was in 2015 as well, I had been to the first ever B Corp get together in London, which was in Camden. Yeah. And there was a whole bunch of us, I don't know if you were there, but it was sort of eating crisps and drinking warm beer, but listening to the first people who were, you know, pioneering this movement. And I'd remembered this, somehow I was on the list, so that was good. And I'd remembered that, and I thought, why don't I look it up? And a long story short, that one of the former managing directors of Springwise, a guy called Chris Turner, is now the CEO of B Corp in the UK.
Oh, right.
So I called him up and said, talked to him, went to a couple of the events, and then decided that we would take the plunge to do it. And so the first thing is it takes a long time to do, which is why we have our Path to B Corp product to help other people do it quicker. And secondly, the impact on in terms of differentiating. So, you know, McKinsey and KPMG, both of whom are in the news for the wrong reasons at the moment, are clearly not ever going to be B Corps. And we would like to say that we compete with them with our strategy work with some of the big clients. And we are a B Corp, and we can go in and say, we're writing our sustainability strategy and we're walking the talk. Everyone in this company, really means what they say. And we've signed up to having 50% female staff and having 50% female ownership and all the other things that the B Corp make, energy and carbon, all that B Corp make you do. So that's the first thing. Secondly, there's a real discipline in the business to make sure we improve every year on our targets, because you have to do that. And thirdly, and perhaps the most importantly, is it's a magnet for talent. So we find that increasingly we're getting really cool people wanting to join Reset and Springwise, who are very talented, and they're saying, I don't want to go into the big old companies and the big old Accentures and PwCs. It's really not for me. I have to be in a purpose-driven organization.
Yeah.
And those are the people we want, because they are the evangelists and the people who are going to make most change. So for all of those reasons, and because I get to come on a podcast with you.
I can think of no other joy.
That's why we're a B Corp.
And I suppose it's worth mentioning the community in the B Corp as well. It is a very vibrant and engaging bunch. And even if you're in the same industry, you'll have companies talking to each other because they're B Corps.
You're right. I miss, and it's really well organized and orchestrated, and the toolkits. I'm a B Corp ambassador, and there's lots of fun when we get together, we haven't been together properly because we've been in lockdown, but some of the parties are really good fun. And I remember a great one when a guy stood up and said, No, the reason I became a B Corp, I've got a really successful business, but I did it so the private equity guys can't get their hands on me. And I just thought that was fantastic. So there's all sorts of, you know, colourful characters and great businesses in Innocence in there. And, you know, Danone have got one of their divisions. So there's some really
16 of their divisions are now. I was
Have they
impressed.
Really? Yeah
really fantastic. Impressed.
Shame the CEO is being fired then. Or they're looking for a new CEO, I read today, which is a real shame.
A bit of controversy there, but...
I saw it in the papers, but it was a shame.
That's good.
I thought he was really good and really galvanising a much better way of doing business. Now, I'm not steeped in it, but I suspect the investors have got the better of him, which is a bit depressing.
Okay, well, that's an interesting one to watch. I'll have a look at that. That's be a shame. And now you've already mentioned it was quite a tough journey to get in. It takes a bit of time. I mean, some of that time is just elapsed time waiting for there to be the assessment, and because there's a lot of interest in becoming a B Corp, and the waiting lists are becoming longer. But the actual effort to get yourself up to the standard required, was that fairly hefty?
Look, we were doing a lot of it, but, you know, we changed our articles of association. We've changed the way we run board meetings. You know, we have an agenda item, which is about B Corp. We make decisions thinking about all stakeholders, which we may have just focused on the shareholders before. So I think there is a way of behaving and a way of running a business that is different if you're a B Corp. And then things like there are some a bit ridiculous things in there, in my opinion, where they go down rabbit holes on energy, and you have to, you know, they interpret their accreditation. It's probably the American influence coming in, where you have to struggle a little bit and have a proper debate about it. But
okay,
you know, broadly we worked hard at it, but there was a moment when we didn't have enough points. You have to have enough points, and as you know, you have to get to whatever it is, 80 or 90 points. And I think we were at 56 or something. And I said to the very brilliant lady who was doing it, I said, okay, let's sit down and go through these. And by the time we went through them, we were pretty close to 80. So just because I can, you know, you interpret it slightly differently. And if you're the owner of the business, you can change stuff immediately to get to that place. So, but it's well worth doing. Competitive advantage, I'm sure. You know,
I've heard that from many accounts of people are going to people and buying from people because they're a B Corp. And they don't have to, you know, in these worlds of having to check your supply chains out, if your supply chain has already done all that.
And look, it's a great, I find it very powerful, you know, it's a very clear narrative. You know, when I go and meet a CEO, I say, you know, what we do is business is a force for good. You know, that's what we're talking about here. And it's really clear. So I think they've done that well. And again, back to the point that if business can really step up, then we do have a chance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's been brilliant. Oh, yeah. One final thing. Why would you say you value being a B Corp then? Beyond of all things, what was the top value, most valuable thing you have about?
I think the ability to attract the next generation of talent is fantastic.
That is,
you know, I'm so pleased. We have a lady who's an intern at the moment, and she said to me the other day, she said, I just can't believe I would want to work anywhere else because, you know, this is about purpose. This is, you know, you've got such a mission here.
Brilliant.
And, you know, getting that from a 24, 25 year old who is going to be one of the stars of the future. You know, that's for me a huge, hugely powerful.
And in a world where I've seen many 25 to 30 year olds who flip from job to job, they can't find their place, they can't find their anchor in it, and the companies don't seem to fit.
Want everyone to stay forever because I think it's great for people to move, but if they can move to other B Corps, then that's okay, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's understanding that your work life can be purposeful. And I struggled for a long time in my career earlier with, you know, the fact that I was promoting consumption, which I knew full well was not a good thing in the world.
No.
In order to get money, that was difficult. So I'm trying to make amends for that at pace.
Sounds great. And I will definitely be watching Springwise quite regularly. I was going to say Springwatch then, but
completely you can do that as well. I think Chris Packham's fantastic, but
yeah, perhaps I can get him on the show at some point. So have you got an action or a tip that you could share with us for our herd of listeners?
Well, look, I've got a couple of things. You know, there's two really. One is, I do believe that it's really important to stay ahead and to be looking out at things that are going to make you think differently, because I think your audience is an audience that is curious, and therefore I'm going to advocate that everyone goes to Springwise, has a look and signs up to our newsletters. So that was a shameless plug.
Shameless plug, that's fine. We accept those.
Highly, highly beneficial for all your listeners. And the other thing I think, you know, reflecting, and I try and do this every day, is really, you know, make a difference every day, and just with the small things, you know, even if it's having a chat with a kid about, you know, chucking stuff away properly and not you know, eating, not having food waste, or, you know, making sure you walk somewhere instead of drive, and all of those things, but make change. And I was having a debate with a friend of mine who was saying, oh, you know, nothing we can do is going to make a difference, and I just completely disagree with that, because you have to start making the change, and if enough people do it, then we'll get there. So, and we all have to do it. So don't delay, do something now.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I had another comment on another interview. You said we don't need a few people doing zero waste perfectly. We need millions of people doing zero waste imperfectly.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so I can really buy into that action. So thank you for that. So what about a recommendation? I think you've got a slightly different recommendation for us today.
So I had a couple of, I've got a movie. So a movie to recommend rather than one that I'm starring in.
Which is you star in movies? I didn't get that on your bio.
Interstellar, which has got a fantastic cast, but it's a really interesting movie if you haven't seen it. It's very long, you need to watch it in one go. And yes. I was really, really, with all the stuff that's going on about space and the destruction of the environment, I think that's a great movie to watch. And as an aside, I believe that all the money that's being spent on going to Mars should be spent instead on combating climate change. But that's a different thing. Other great thing I've been watching is Call My Agent, but that's got nothing to do with B Corp, but it's on Netflix. It's a French one. My wife is French. We're enjoying that. And then we're reading the Bill Gates book, How to Avoid Climate Disaster, which I've only just started, so I don't know. But I think having someone like him, you know, who is an amazing guy and very respected, you know, coming out and committing himself to climate change, I think is very significant. So I think that's a book to read. Once you've read Disrupt 100 Lessons in Business Innovation, of course.
Of course, yeah. Well, we will put a link to all of those, including Bill Gates' book, because we mentioned it on the show a few shows ago, and it speaks a lot of sense. You might not agree with all of it, but some of the 5 points he lays down as to what we need to do or what the problems are quite poignant.
Yeah.
Okay, then that only leaves us with a fact or fake or two. Have you got one for me?
I've got one.
Go on.
Listen extremely carefully, Russell.
I will.
So you've got to just decide whether this is a fact or a fake. So 50% of the UK public think business should have a legal responsibility to planet and people alongside maximizing profits.
50%.
50%.
You know, part of me thinks that I don't know if that many people appreciate the business. I don't know. That's a really tough one.
B Corp piece of information. So they've obviously done a survey with some of their community.
No problem. I'm going to say that is a fake, I think.
You're right. The answer is 72%.
Oh, wow. It's high. I didn't think it'd be that high.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's why I thought.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's quite interesting buy-in from the public.
Quite good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a B Corp facto. So have you got one for me?
I have. Mine's a little bit, I kind of went on technology a little bit, seeing your Springwise connections and all the different innovations that bring forth. And I thought I'd look at, I was looking through, we got a stack of these, but just a short one. In 2017, so things have changed probably, China was building 2 wind turbines every day. Is that a fact or a fake?
Fact.
It was a fake. They were building, in 2017, they were building 2 wind turbines an hour.
Bloody hell. Yeah, excuse me. Not allowed to say that. Quick edit. Wow.
we can blip it out. No.
2017.
I think I've had worse.
Yeah.
I mean, that's astounding. You got to 20. And we learned today in another, there'll be another interview, there's an interesting fact about how much energy is derived in one rotation, but I won't give that one away.
But look, I mean, that's good, and I should really have got that, but it's great. And I think there is such a, because China's also building lots of coal mines. So there's a really interesting thing about how China is part of the problem, but part of the solution. And I am quite, I'm positive on a good day that China will be part of the solution, because they can do stuff at such scale.
It's quite an interesting one, because they did commit to being, I can't remember if it was net zero or neutral or whatever, whichever phrase they used, by 2060. And it's the first time they'd ever said they'd get into this game.
Yeah.
But the thing about the Chinese is they thought about this and they worked out how they can do it. They can build 52 turbines a day over there, and heaven's only what they're doing. They could do 3,000 miles of motorway in a year.
Yeah,
they could do it.
No, they can do it. Yeah,
they could do it, and I'll look that forward with that one.
Well, I think we both scored. I think that's good for me. I'm not. I don't want any more. Thanks. No.
You don't. Okay.
I get it wrong, and I've got my daughter to call.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. I'll leave you with that. All it leaves me to thank you very much with that humble draw, is to thank you very much, James, for joining us on the Green Elephant Show.
Been a great pleasure, and well done for creating the Green Elephant Show and for working so hard on it. It's a great, great thing, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. We really hope that you found this special B Corp Month episode both informative and entertaining. Make sure you don't miss any of the 31 interviews with B Corporations who are striving to be a force for good. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a thing, and don't forget to spread the word with others. If you have any questions about being or becoming a B Corp, or any comments and suggestions about the show, please do get in touch. You can email studio@greenelephant.show, or visit the website greenelephant.show, or find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, or Twitter by searching for Green Elipod or The Green Elephant Show. You can also review the show on Google and Apple Podcasts. Join us tomorrow, and we hope you have a sustainable day.